Today we're going to discuss something about Jesus Christ, because if we can lift him up, everybody will come to him. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And so we just want to lift Jesus up. It's always amazing to see how much ministry is done in the name of Jesus without ever mentioning Jesus. And some of that would be okay to do some good things and all that, but the truth is you can't really do gospel ministry without preaching Christ. If you look in the book of Acts and even further, you'll see that they preach the kingdom of God and they preach Christ. And so it's hard to really do the gospel well if you don't preach Christ, if you don't preach the name of Jesus, if you really don't bring him up much, you're not going to have successful ministry enough. It's amazing if you'll listen to some sermons how infrequent sometimes you hear the name of Jesus brought up. Not that you have to make sure that that's said every single meeting, but if you're in Christ and if you're real close to him, you can't help but mention him. Even in the most elementary of topics or most mundane aspects of this life, if you're preaching the gospel, you can't hardly not mention Jesus, because he's the center of everything. And we can't forget him because he's a person, and this whole life is to be lived with Christ. He is the one that is the Savior of the world. He's the one that the entire Old Testament nation of Israel was waiting for. Where's the Messiah? Is the Messiah here? Don't look there. There's not the Messiah, but where's the Messiah? When's the Messiah? When's the Savior coming? When's the Savior coming? I mean, they were waiting, expecting. And when Jesus came, it was like, is this the Messiah? Is this the one we've been waiting on? Is this the one we've been waiting on? Why? Because Jesus changes everything.
Amen.
Why? Because whatever the problem is, Jesus is the answer. And so for you and I, we need to recognize that Jesus is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's before all, and in him all things consist, and everything's centered on him. And anything in life really is about him. And so any trouble that you have, any circumstance you have, anything that needs to change, any trouble, Jesus is the answer. Any question, Jesus is the answer. Any uncertainty, Jesus Christ is the one you're looking for. People look for love in all the wrong places. Jesus brings the love of God. Only with Jesus will you ever have the love that you're looking for. So, I mean, you can just quickly see that really he's the answer for everything. The problem is that Christians, or we can say even humans, just being in the earth causes us to look for solutions everywhere else and look for life to be settled and solved all these other places. When really, if you just had Jesus closer, you'd be okay. If you just had more faith in Jesus Christ, the person with you, in you, for you, and never again, if you just had more faith that he was there, everything would be okay. What do you need today? You don't need the next fancy thing. You just need to see Jesus sitting next to you. Denise got married to Aaron, thinking he's going to solve all my problems. He's going to make me so happy. And now she realizes, if I could just pretend that Jesus was next to me. Listen, no matter what you thought was going to make you happy, you're going to always have to keep Jesus right next to you. By faith, in your own soul, you got to remember he's the one that makes you happy. Okay, so that's kind of a far distance for a lot of people. They just need, I just need food on the table. I just need my kids to, I just need, we think it's just that next little thing that we need, when really Jesus takes care of even that next little thing. And so if we'll keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, he can bring all things to us. All things are added to our life if we seek first. And so all these things we know, yet we forget. All these things we know to be true, or at least we have a historical memory of them, but yet we don't live that way. We live mad. We live upset. We live worried. We live anxious. We live on the edge of all these little things not being perfect. I guess you don't, but some people do. So Jesus, the answer for the world, and it began here, Genesis chapter 3. So even before there was problems in the world, God had the answer, and his name was Jesus. So God created the whole earth with no problems in it. No problems in it. Paradise, perfect life for his creation. And then Adam and Eve sinned. And then God said to the serpent, verse 15, Genesis 3:15, "And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He'll bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." So even from the very, very beginning, where sin entered and the devil entered and got free reign in the earth, God had a plan to solve that problem. So the problem was the serpent got freedom in the land, freedom in the earth. But the solution was that Jesus was going to come. Meaning, what he said here was the seed of the woman, a man, child, was going to be born, and he was going to bruise Satan's head. He was going to step on the serpent's head. Now, the serpent would bruise his heel, and that's why Jesus got crucified at the cross. It looked like, yeah, that was a small pain, but it actually was a greater victory. Looked like a defeat. It was a little defeat, almost, but not really, because Jesus put his foot on the devil's head. That all things are now put under Jesus' feet. And not only Jesus' feet, but it says that soon God will crush Satan under your feet. So right now, Satan does afflict people, but soon, if you need him to, you can crush Satan with your feet. And then eventually, when Jesus returns, Satan is crushed even under our feet, and we'll all see it. We don't see the total victory. We're still having to stand and keep the victory. We're still having to occupy. We're still having to resist the devil. There's coming a day when Satan is crushed under our feet. And so we know that's true, and truth and coming. The problem is the devil. The solution is Jesus Christ. The problem is sin. The solution is Jesus Christ. The problem is poverty. The solution is Jesus Christ. The problem is sickness and disease. The solution is Jesus Christ. Amen. The questions are vast. The answer is Jesus Christ. The uncertainties of the world are big and huge and confusing, but the answer is always Jesus Christ. And so it's easy to say that, but if you can't explain why, you don't have substantiating truth, it's just like something to write on the wall. It's just like, Mom always says that. Mom always says Jesus is the answer. Mom always says it's the devil's the problem and Jesus is the answer. Yeah, but under that is a whole lot of truth that we need to kind of take a look at. So we'll do that today to just make sure we understand that Jesus is the answer for our life today and tomorrow. We think that we got Jesus and then we can just move on into other things, but no, he's supposed to be the everything. Jesus is supposed to be the everything. And so the solution from the beginning was going to be a Savior's going to be born. And that's why the devil worked for thousands of years to try to kill the Savior before he was born or upon birth. And that's why the devil tried to wipe out Jews time and time again throughout the Old Testament, because he knew that, you know, the Savior was going to be born out of the loins of Abraham somehow. And that's why Pharaoh tried to kill all the firstborn of the slaves. Exodus chapter 1, he told the midwives that you birth a kid and you, if it's a Hebrew boy, you kill him. In the Hebrew, the midwives said, you know, they're having babies before we can even show up at the house. And then he said, well, then every male that's born, you throw them in the river. And they couldn't do that either. Nobody could really have enough confidence to do that. And so they hid. Remember, they hid Moses in the basket. The devil's always tried to kill the sons of the Hebrews. And that's why King Herod did the same thing. When he found out that there was a king being born, he sent word out, said, let me find him. Bring him to me as soon as you can. Tell me where he's at as soon as you can. They wouldn't do it. And he said, well, then kill all the sons 2 years old and younger. What's he trying to do? He's trying to stop the Messiah, because the Messiah is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's the Savior of the world. He's the hope for the world. He's the fix for all the problems that you're dealing with. Certainly he fixes the sin problem, but he can also fix your car. As long as you've trusted him to have the money to pay the mechanic. Of course, if you're in an emergency, he can also fix your car, and that's fun too. But all things have been put under Jesus' feet. As a matter of fact, all things have been made by Jesus. So the way God says it was a little deeper and bigger than we even imagined. We thought it was just God that created everything. But he said he created everything through Christ. I'll quote these two. All things were made through him, Christ. And without Christ, nothing was made that was made. John 1:3. Hebrews 1:2 says, He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. God made the worlds through Christ. It's like if he's the originator of everything, that means he knows everything. That means he can fix everything. That means he can bless everything and help you in everything. But you're going to have to seek first him. You're going to have to keep your eyes looking unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, let's just turn there. Hebrews 12, 1, we'll read this. You know it, but I want you to see the three parts to it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And then Ephesians 3 we're going to go to. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, meaning there's people that have gone before us and they see into this earth for things pertaining to the will of God. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. And so this is where you need to lay aside the weights and the sins. Do all Christians lay aside their weights and sins? Do all Christians lay aside their weights and sins? Do most Christians know this verse? Yes. Do most Christians do it? But Pastor, I wanted a new message today, something new to learn. This is very important. Until you get this one, I'm not giving you another one. What's happening here? Well, the truth is so powerful and so wonderful, and you sit there saying, yes, yes, yes. If you could do it, you'd have a good life. Amen. So many are trying to live a life with God, believing in Jesus, but not doing it right. They carry all their weights around. They carry all their sins around. They don't even know how to get forgiven. They don't know how to get forgiven. They don't know how to stop sinning. They don't know why to stop sinning. They're trying to stop sinning without Christ. Jesus Christ is not supposed to be an addition to your sinful, weighted down life. And this is where we've all made mistakes here, thinking I got my religion along with all my other dreams and hopes and aspirations. Oh, and disappointments and burdens and sorrows and pains and heartaches. Oh, at least I got Jesus in my back pocket. It's like, okay, in life we start collecting things. And so, yeah, I got my, finally got my family. Finally got my education. That's good. Finally got some friends. That's good. Got my friends. Is this sacred? Can I touch this? Okay. And this is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. I got a new car finally, and I got a place to live finally. Oh, and I got a church, finally got a church. Oh, and I got saved. I got saved. So I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I'm my life's getting good. And then eventually, I can't hardly reach Jesus anymore. And then eventually I forget where I put Jesus. He's like in my back pocket. I got him somewhere, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, please. I don't feel you anymore. I don't feel you anymore. Look, you can't serve God like this. You can't serve God with 1,500 things in your soul. You just can't do it. He's supposed to be the center of everything. And so you're going to have to let go of all these things. Is that your Kleenex? The only way it can work is if he replaces these things. So now I've got him alone in my soul. And I can deal with these other things a lot easier. All my worries. I see it. I worry about that, but I've cast it off, so I'm not going to keep it in my soul. And yeah, I got to take care of my family, and yes, I got to take care of my job, and yeah, I got to pray about this and that, and I got to ask God for some things, but my focus is not those things. It's always just Jesus. And so He's everything to us, and if He can replace all of the clutter in your soul, you'll have a happy day. If you could really just look unto Jesus, which is the next verse, lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily ensnare us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So looking unto Jesus can't be done if you got all these other things. It's an art. The Christian life is quite tactical. And you're going to have to learn how to do it. And you're going to have to teach your kids how to do it. Every child needs to understand what it means to believe in Jesus. It's not just to have a painting or a picture or a color. It's not just to have something cute about Jesus or know that we go to a church that believes in Jesus. It's about meeting the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, until you, because a lot of you might, believe in Jesus, might not have really met the person in a real way. And it's been hard for you to establish relationship or intimacy with the person. But Jesus is a person. Amen. All of these printed words and all of the things we say in here are to draw us to a person that you can't see, but that you can experience. Amen. That you can't, rub shoulders with, but that you can trust. He's a person. And He's supposed to be able to solve all of your life issues. But He lives inside you. He's in your soul. That means your soul cannot be cluttered with everything of this world. We've said this before, you know, who is really on the throne of your life? I mean, Jesus is the King. He's supposed to be on the throne. In heaven, He's on the throne. But who's on the throne of your soul? Who's on the throne inside you? Who rules and reigns in you? Who's on the throne of your life, of your heart? Who sits on the throne inside you? For most people, they still sit on their own throne. And then for parents, their children sit on the throne of their heart. And then for grandparents, they got three thrones for all their grandkids sitting. No. The tendency or the temptation is there that all of the things precious to you sit on your throne, sit on the throne of your heart, and it should be Jesus. So we get all of our priorities out of order, thinking we're doing it for the family when we're neglecting really the King. If you can get the King to sit on the throne of your heart, He'll fill the emptiness inside you. Because no person, no people, no family even can fill the void that's in our heart. They say there's a God-shaped hole in every man's heart. Only God can fill that. We could say there's only one person who can sit on the throne and solve the crisis of your heart and your life, and that's Jesus Christ. Right. And until you can establish relationship with the person of Jesus Christ, it just won't make enough sense. You'll always find things shoving you out of the kingdom, out of church, out of spiritual things. And every kid needs to know this. And then as soon as they hit adolescence, every adolescent, every teenager needs to start knowing this. That out of all the things you've heard in church and all the things you know at church, you're going to have to make your own personal commitment to receive Jesus in a real way and meet Him. Amen. So that He takes over on the inside of you and guides you through the next phase of your life. Amen. Guides you past the door threshold of your parents' home. Because most teenagers look past that threshold and think, boy, as soon as I'm out of here. Most teenagers go through this phase where they now know more than the parents. You know, a 13-year-old knows more than their parents and grandparents and every other adult in their life. That's sinful and prideful. They need to be coached away from that type of pride. But deep down, the carnal nature says, as soon as I pass the threshold of my family's home, meaning as soon as I graduate from high school or college or whatever that moment is, it's over. I'm doing different things. I'm not going to serve God. I'm done with church. I'm going to go live my life because they've kept me from this life. That's a lie. So every teenager needs to realize, listen, adults know what's out there. And that's why we're trying to steer you away from the false hope that the world gives. But every child's going to have to go through it, and every teenager needs to be ready that you need to meet Jesus for yourself. And if you don't, you're going to struggle worse than your parents. And then at some point in your life, you're going to have to recognize. And we just hope that you don't have to go out into the world and get beat up like some of the parents did. Like most parents are like, wow, I wish I would have known this. I wish I would have lived differently. Wow, I wish I could have avoided. So teenagers, have a little common sense about you, a little wisdom. If you think you're that wise, follow somebody that's already gone. Amen. Follow somebody that you can see has made it.
Yep. That's a good word.
And if nothing else, follow the Bible. Amen. Because Jesus is the answer for everything.
Amen.
But every teenager needs to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. He's got to be bigger than school, bigger than kids at school, bigger than all your friends, bigger than all of Hollywood's dreams. Hallelujah. God created all things through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. He's going to gather together everything in Christ. Nothing is good without Christ. Nothing is wonderful without Jesus. There's just nothing worth it without Jesus. He's going to The whole end times is all about Jesus Christ. Everyone comes to Jesus Christ. He finally one day will sit on the throne and every eye gets to see the whole thing. And then everybody has to go visit, even if they don't. Well, that's a whole nother story. Everybody has to go visit the New Jerusalem where the king sits. If you already believe in him, you get free reign because you already love him. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. You need to have a relationship so intimately and real that you talk to God throughout the day. You know, one scripture in the Old Testament says the wicked, God is in none of his thoughts or not in all of his thoughts. But for those who know God, we think about him all the time. I mean, you can't go, 30 minutes without thinking somehow either about the person of God or the character of God or the nature of God or the ways of the world are contrary to God. I mean, if you're a real Christian and know anything about him, you'll think about him and talk about him. That's why we say, if you really know Jesus, you'll try to introduce him to people. I said, if you really know Jesus, you'll introduce him to people. And if you find that you're not introducing your friend to other friends, then you've drifted. You've gotten too far from Jesus if you have no desire to invite him over to a friend's place or to a friend's heart. And that's really what's happened to us. You got to be very careful. I said, you and I got to be very careful not to drift far from Jesus. I remember a story Brother Hagin said. He said he was with a bunch of preachers and they were all talking about revival of this and that. And he said, we just need a baptism of love. There's just not enough love in the church these days. We just need a baptism of love. Yeah, let's have a baptism of love. Let's start praying for a baptism of love. And Brother Hagin stood up and he said, y'all don't need a baptism of love. He said, y'all just need to get born again. Because if you'll get born again, the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus. So what you've done is you've gotten too far from Jesus. I think it was John Wesley, he said he was hanging out with Charles Finney. And he remembered in his Methodist Bibles class, Sunday school class, he said everybody was crying and complaining and praying, and the way they prayed was very far from God and just hopeless and, desperate. And God, if you possibly could. And he remembers the teacher saying, standing and stopping everybody from praying. He said, listen, here's what y'all's problem is. You've gotten too far from Jesus. praying with this hopeless, beggarly attitude, you just got too far from Jesus. So it's possible for believers in Jesus to get too far from Him. And so I just want to help you get closer to Him. Come on, He's everything. You need to read your Bible as if Jesus was sitting there talking to you, and then go live your day as if He had talked to you that morning. And remind yourself that He's with me all day. Talk to Him. How long do you got to pray? Well, you don't have to pray all that long. Just don't go too long without praying. We don't need you to have a sheet. I prayed 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. There might be seasons where some preacher does that or somebody does that, but that's not what you go around holding out for everybody to see. Somebody asked Smith Wigglesworth, how long do you pray? And he said, well, usually not too much longer than 30 minutes. They thought, oh, that sounds pretty good. He said, but I never go 30 minutes without praying. Philippians 4, are you there? Yeah. Philippians 4, now this is in the context of Paul telling the church at Philippi that they had taken good care of him financially. But then he says, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Doesn't end with that. It says through Christ. So I can do all things through Christ. What does that mean? Through Christ. That means I need relationship with Jesus. I need relationship with Christ, the Anointed One. I need relationship with the Holy Spirit. I need relationship with Him. And if you drift in relationship, you can't do anything. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. With Christ, we can do all things through Christ. If we drift from Christ, you can't do anything. You'll do nothing holy, nothing substantial, nothing noteworthy in heaven, nothing treasure-oriented. You'll do nothing good without Christ. You could feed 1,000 poor, but without Christ, it's nothing. I can do all things through Christ, with Christ. It matters if I do it with Christ. You can have all the fun in the world. Nothing will matter if it's not with Christ. You can do all things through Christ. That means you got to get to know Him. You got to hang out with Him. You got to be part of His Word. You got to be part of His church, part of His body. Well, I like Jesus' head a lot. I think about Him a lot. But I hate going to church. That's like saying I hate His body. I just have no interest in Jesus' body. So, Jesus, just give me a picture of your face, and that's all I need. Come visit me, Jesus. Bring only your head. Oh, and a hand. I need a hand and a face. That's all I need from you. I don't need anything else. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2. The problem is verse 21, Philippians 2:21, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. All seek their own. So heathen seek their own, not the things that are of Christ Jesus, but Christians should be seeking the things that are of Christ Jesus. It's going over real big and quiet today in this Presbyterian church. Maybe if I said some homiletics and hermeneutics and told you another story or two, we could get through the service today. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. People are like, I just need to get a better job. I just need healing. When's the healing going to come? I just want to be happy. That's the common thought of the world. I just want to be happy. Christians, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. God knows I just want to be happy. This never-ending quest for some happy feeling. So you create experiences. You create parties. You create something to expect. You create relationships. If I could just have a better relationship, if I could just make another purchase, if I could just, my flesh needs something. It just needs something. If I could just fulfill my flesh a little bit more. I need a better hamburger and a better pizza, and I'm just tired of this lasagna. It's just a better, if I could just, I'd be happier. You're sitting at a restaurant talking about another restaurant. Like, I don't know, the best restaurant is that one. If I could just have the better restaurant, it'd be better and happier. It's like you're just ruining this happiness. You fought all day to get to this restaurant, and now you're complaining, and the other restaurant is where you should have been anyway. I need another activity. I need another vacation. I need something to make me happy. Well, all those things are created to be enjoyed. Fine, you can enjoy those things, but those don't make you happy. You need to be so happy before you eat. Happy just because. Have you ever been able to just sit there with nothing going on? No phone in your hand, no TV, no people, and just sit there? Glory to God. I'm so happy. Nothing going on. All your troubles are still there. Some are in the house, some are outside the house. And you're just sitting there. Wow. I'm so happy to be saved. I love you, Jesus. Life is so wonderful. I know how to be content. I know how to be abased. I'm not afraid of anything. So wonderful, Jesus. And just sit there with the Lord. Let Him remind you of a couple scriptures or something, and you experience His love. Maybe He needs to tell you, I love you. You know, that'd be fine. But then there's other scriptures He could tell you. I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Glory to God. He was thinking about me having peace in my heart right now in the middle of my troubles. That was the plan. He knew that He was thinking peace toward me right now between me and God. Wow, this is wonderful. Thanks for saving my soul. I don't need one more thing to be happy. I got it. I got it. I'm happy. So this is an art. This is a discipline, a practice, a lifestyle of faith people who can be happy with Jesus Christ. He's everything. You know He is. We say it. Can you make Him everything? Can you allow Him by faith to become all things in your soul that satisfy? Hallelujah. But I just need to get married. If I could just get married, I'd be happy. People get married. If I could just get divorced, I'd be happy. Listen, there's a lot of people that are seeking, they're pining after getting married, and you're going to have to not do that. You're going to have to go get Jesus, marry Jesus, go seek after Jesus, pine after Jesus, and then you might get married. I was doing that in the world. I was looking for a wife. I looked for a wife in high school. I looked for a wife in college. I didn't look in very good places, but I was looking. I looked in every wrong place you could find for a wife. High school, every wrong place in college, every wrong place after college. I mean, I toured the state in all the wrong places looking for a wife. I went to other states looking for a wife. I was open. I was open everywhere looking for a wife. I wanted a wife. I started looking at the calendar, and I was 25 years old, 26. I'm thinking, man, I wanted to do it earlier. I thought this was going to happen earlier, and so I would meet somebody, a new person, and the first thing I'd say is, you want to get married? I was doing it as a joke, but that was my plan. Like, I'm not just playing games here. I'm looking for my wife. And then I realized, you know what? I think I got a problem here. And one of those problems is that I really need God in my life. I think I might need God in my life. And I think what I'm looking for in a woman is that she has God in her life. And I think that's part of the problem. And so I went to church thinking I'm going to find a wife at the church that had the most singles in Houston. Hey, I'm a calculated type of person. I went, you know, if I want to find a godly wife, I'm going to go to the biggest pool of godly women. And then at first it was like, wow, this is going to work. And then I realized, you know what? I need to seek God instead of a wife. And so I shut it down. I shut it down and thought, you know what? I need to establish my relationship with Jesus. I need to pursue Him alone. And the wife will come at some point. And she did come. It wasn't at that church with those huge pool of... It was at a small church where the will of God was more clear. You're going to have to seek Jesus. For answers in every area of your life, you're going to have to seek Jesus. Through fame, ambition, better job, better promotion, more money, wealth, early retirement. None of those things should be pursued ever. I said none of those things should be pursued. You can never pursue money or achievement. You pursue money and achievement, you'll fail. You'll fail in the happiness part. You'll fail in heavenly treasure. And you'll usually be very unhappy. All the people, the famous people, prove that, right? They got it. It looks like they got it all. Spouse, kids, money, fame, glory, leisure, comfort, and yet they still have problems. Committing suicide. We just had recent suicide that everybody knows about. Why would that happen? Well, because the same problems exist no matter how wonderful your life appears to be. And it's only solved in your heart, in your soul. Hallelujah. People don't even know what they need. They think they need happiness. They don't know what they need. They're empty. They're frustrated, anxious, angry on the inside, lost, unsatisfied, confused. You know, just when you think the thing you needed, you got, all of a sudden you realize it didn't satisfy. Filling the void with everything else in the world. Hallelujah. Well, it's only hallelujah if you got Jesus in there. Amen. We can only really praise the Lord if you got Jesus in there. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 3 here, verse 8, Paul said this, I indeed count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You almost have to look at all of your achievements as rubbish so that you can gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So are y'all looking for me? I can be found in Christ. Is anybody looking for you? You should be found in Christ. Now that takes a sincere Christian life. How many of you are willing to take a step of a sincere Christian life so that somebody could say, you know what, I can't find you unless I find you in Christ? Heathen say, you know, it's very frustrating because I can't find you without Jesus. Like, I love you, but, you know, every time you're around, it's always Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, don't be nutty or flaky, but at the same time, it's hard to find me without finding Christ. That's why I never get invited to all my friends' things. All my high school and middle school friends' things, I don't get invited because they know they got to come to Christ to find me.
Amen.
Glory. But you know, the life is filled with pressures and stuff, and that's why people are committing suicide or self-harming. It's because of a life not close to Jesus in your soul. Leads to no answers. And we got to be very careful of that. Hopelessness, life pressures, self-identity problems, trying to punish myself. You know, a lot of times people start self-harming because they know that they've sinned and they don't understand Jesus enough to get forgiven and cleansed. And so they got to punish. Somebody needs to be punished for what I've done. Might as well be me. Self-punishment is bad. I mean, sometimes it's not physical, it's just mental. Sometimes people beat themselves up so badly because they don't understand the righteousness of God through Christ. So there's answers and solutions for all these things, but it's always Jesus is the answer. For hopelessness is one of the causes of self-harm or suicide. People just have no hope. And hope is the anchor of the soul. And without hope, I can't get out of bed, have no reason to get out of bed. If I don't have anything I'm shooting for, then life is a bore. What's the purpose? Well, Jesus is the answer. With Him, we have eternal hope. We're anchored to that. Everything's okay. In the long run, everything's okay. And we have current hope. Hope is the anchor of my soul. It keeps me grounded, keeps me headed in the right direction, keeps me doing something valid in this life. I'm needed here. I have a hope. But you won't know that unless you know the Bible. That God is called the God of all hope. That we're supposed to rejoice in the God of all hope. That we may have peace and joy in believing. That we can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, you can't really have hope unless you're with God. Unless you know the Bible. Unless you hang on to a promise of God. And then for pressure, life pressure, Jesus is the answer. He said, hey, if you come with me, life is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Cast your cares upon me, for I care, for the Lord cares for you. And so you can live carefree, not careless, but just carefree. So Jesus is the answer for life pressure. He's the answer for disappointments. Disappointments cause people to self-abase themselves and hurt themselves or think negatively of themselves. You know, disappointments and failures. You know, I've failed so many times. I'm so upset with myself. But Jesus helps you get through that. With Jesus, you can forget the past and recognize it doesn't have to harm your future. Sure, we've all got failures of the past. We've all got broken hearts from the past. Jesus heals the broken heart. So He's the answer so that you can move forward. He's the answer for everything. He solves our self-identity crisis. Because in Christ, I'm a new creature. People don't know who they are. They're lost. They feel negative about themselves. My self-worth is low until I receive Jesus. And then I realize He sees me differently. He's made me a new creature. That behold, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. And so all of a sudden in the mirror, I'm a different person. In my spirit, I'm of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. My identity is not in my achievements. It's not in my successes or my failures. I'm not inflated with pride because I've done well. I'm not low because I've done bad. I'm in Christ and I'm accepted by God. And I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed of unrighteousness. And it's not about how good I am or how bad I am. It's because of Jesus I can be okay today because I sure need Him. Without Him, I'm nothing. With Him, I'm everything. And so my self-identity is fixed by Jesus Christ, by knowing. And then you can look at demons are probably the leading cause of suicide or self-harm. Demons, just outright demons. Some people don't like to believe there is a demon, but there are demons. And they're not little spandex-wearing, pitchfork-carrying things that sit on people's shoulders. But the effect is about the same. Demons afflict people. Without even anything in life being that terrible, demons will lie to people and cause them to do stupid things. Why don't you just do that stupid thing? Why don't you do this stupid thing? Why don't you just do that? Might as well do that. Just stupid thoughts that come are from the devil or demons or the fallen nature of man. And you and I are going to have to know how to deal with it. How do you deal with it? Through Jesus Christ. In my name, you'll cast out demons. In my name, you can cast down thoughts. In my name, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you get some knowledge of God, and then we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then I can tell the devil to shut up when he says, why don't you just jump off? It's like, you shut up. You know, most humans deal with some sort of weird thoughts. All humans deal with weird thoughts. Twisted thoughts. It's like, where'd that come from? Came from the devil. I just had this thought. I don't know where it came from. Came from the devil. So don't think it. You can't stop the thoughts, but most people rationalize themselves away from doing stupid things, but not all people, and not at all times. So you need to have some ammunition from Jesus Christ. So you can say, no, in Jesus' name, no way. No, 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 it's written. No, 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 there is hope for my life. No, 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 no. God says he knows the thoughts he has toward me, and they're good thoughts. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give me a future and a hope. And I'm going to be able to call upon the Lord. He'll answer to me when I call upon him with all my heart. And so you have some scripture. You have some ammunition from Jesus Christ so that you can tell the devil, no way, no way. I know better. I know better. I know better. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. None of these thoughts can harm me. Whatever the problem, Jesus is the solution. Whatever the lie, Jesus is the truth. And so you have to get your soul close enough to Jesus so that throughout the rest of your life, you know the answer all the time. You're so close to the answer all the time. And it's not even on the tip of your tongue. It's in your tongue. You're not even trying to think of it. I got the answer already. You and I are okay. If you're in Christ, you're okay. Everything's okay today. I don't care what happens. Everything's okay today. The very worst that could happen to you today would be you die and go be with him. That's the worst thing. I don't want to be with him. Yeah. To be here or there with him is the very worst thing that could possibly happen is you go to be with Jesus forever. So quit acting like you're so worried about everything. Don't help yourself get there early. Absolutely not. But you have to put things in perspective so that you're never afraid of the future. People that are afraid of the future do dumb things now. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of dying. You have to get the threat of dying away from you, or you'll never be able to believe God to get healed. We've seen people that could never shake the fear of death or the anxiety and worry about what if I die, and that makes it hard to believe God. It's an amazing struggle to get free from fear, because then you're free to trust. But if fear has gripped you, even with some terminal thing, you have to break that if you're ever going to get healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what's the question? Who cares? Jesus is the answer. What's your trouble? Who cares? Jesus is the answer. All your troubles, all your problems, confusion, circumstances, they're nothing compared to Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.